Well, good morning. Welcome to The Refuge. How are you? Merry Christmas. I can use two Bibles. Well, this is something that takes place about once every 5 or 6 years as far as Christmas taking place on a Sunday. And I know that last Sunday we talked about how to prepare for Christmas. Last night we talked about how to respond to the gift of Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to unwrap him in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And see who it is that was presented in that little manger in Bethlehem. And I truly am honored on this day to stand here before you and tell you about who it is that we celebrate today. It's a special day. It's a day I always look forward to. In fact, I remember the buildup of the anticipation of Christmas as a young child. You see, in school we had, and I don't know if you still do it, sometimes I see it every now and then, kids tell me if this is true. You know those little rings of paper, green and red, and you glue them together? Do you still do that? Kids, do you still do that? Yeah? Some of you do. Oh, just your sister? Okay. And that was great because we'd rip one every day. We'd rip one off, right? And as the rings would get shorter and shorter, I knew the day was coming, right? For my family, up until the age of 12, we would all get together, and you've heard this. Some of you have heard this. We'd all get together at my grandmother's house, and it was just dozens and dozens of cousins that would get together. We'd take off, and we'd be there for Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, like on the 26th, we'd come back home. But it was all about gathering together, and we truly celebrated the joy of just family. It wasn't about the gifts under the tree. It was the gifts that surrounded the tree that were important to us. It was all the relationships. And you see, God sent his son to this earth not to just pray a prayer and say, well, I'm saved, and live the rest of our lives as if we weren't. But we are to celebrate that present that was given to us in Jesus Christ. It's a relationship that we have with the Lord, with the very Word of God, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was a relationship. It's that joy in the hope in Christ that we need to celebrate today. So what we unwrapped was the joy of being with each other. We celebrated it together. And at midnight, what we would do is we would look forward to this time. We would count down. It was coming down to the last few seconds, and everyone, right? We'd start counting down. 10, 9, 8. It was all in Spanish. And we'd count down. Merry Christmas. It was midnight. It was no longer Christmas Eve. It was Christmas Day. And we would all just go individually and give hugs and kisses and say Merry Christmas. And that's what it was all about. After that, we would gather around the tree, and my grandmother would sit there, and with the help of my aunts, and they would distribute one gift to each kid. There's a lot of us. But it wasn't just one opening up a gift and everyone watching. It was just everyone all at once. My grandmother would count down once more, and it was just everyone. It was just chaos. It was so exciting, though. You know, everyone would just rip the wrapping and take their gifts out of the boxes or whatever it was. And it was just trash all over the place. And it was just fun. It was great. This morning, I want to unwrap for you the best gift of all. I want to tell you about the amazing gift of Jesus Christ, the one whom was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years prior to this day in Bethlehem. And I can't possibly take my time in unfolding one portion at a time. This morning, I need to just rip open this gift for you. Because Isaiah 9, 6, well, I can do a whole series just on the four titles of our Lord. So this morning, I'm just going to rip open this package for you and give it to you. 1 week ago, again, I told you how to prepare for Christmas. Last night, I told you how to respond to Christmas. This morning, I'm just going to simply hand Jesus over to you and show you who he is. You see, Christmas is not a gift that we give, but it's one that was offered to us by our Father. It's in Jesus Christ, the one who was delivered to us. And I pray that this morning, if you haven't unwrapped the gift, if you haven't understood that you're in desperate need of this gift, that you start at this point understanding that you're here by no accident, that you receive this gift. You take advantage of this time. Don't leave it under the tree. Respond to it this morning. You see, there's a couple benefits of opening up this gift, you personally. And you've heard these words, repent, right? You can't preach salvation without repentance. Repentance is just understanding that you need to turn from the direction that you're going in life. That's part of opening up the gift. Confessing, saying, Father, I agree with you. Those things which offend you are sin and they keep me from you. I confess that. I repent. I turn the other way and I run to your Son, Jesus Christ, and I receive him as Lord and Savior. That's the whole unwrapping of the gift this morning. But let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the inexpressible or indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 tells us that. So let's see why, according to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. So please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 9, 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah prophesied this in the midst of troubled days for Israel. But these were words of hope to trust in the one to come. Isaiah prophesied of dark days. Do we not live in dark days today? I mean, turn on the news. Dark days. Look at the international news. Look at our economic situation throughout the world. When people just are desperate, they're acting odd. People opening fire. I mean, opening up on others at work, not just at the post office, right? Now going postal is a term that can be applied to Edison. That can be applied to any street you go down. I said it the other day, there was a man that I saw on the news that just was in the middle of the street shooting. We live in dark days. But listen, here's the good news. Is Jesus Christ has come. And in him we have the hope of forever being in the presence of God's, of the Father's glory, of God's glory through faith in him. You see, grace is a free gift given to us. It's offered to us. That's why I said this morning that you can take it or you can leave it. I pray this morning that you receive that gift because we all need hope. And I pray that each and every one of us not only has a hope, a personal hope of being blessed, because that's something that is up to the Lord anyway. How it is that our lives turn out, right? Personally here on earth. But listen, beyond this place, there's a hope of eternally being in the presence of God. And that's worth more than anything. Isaiah looked beyond this time of punishment and saw a bright deliverance. Better yet, he saw a bright deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will eventually save his people from their oppressors, as he did in the days of Gideon, through whom he annihilated the oppressive Midianites. You see, the Lord will accomplish this future deliverance through the Messiah, who will rule on David's throne. But Jesus first came as a suffering servant. When the rapture takes place, this won't be his second coming. This is actually, he won't touch down on earth. He will meet us in the clouds. This is when he takes his people to be with him. But there will be a day in which he reigns here on earth, and we will reign with him. Now, the words for "to us a child is born, to us a son is given," link this messianic prophecy with the prediction of Emmanuel's birth. Isaiah 7:14. Again, let me remind you, 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now we fast forward 700 years. Matthew 1:18 through 23 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Again, point back to Isaiah 7:14. This is whom Isaiah foretold. The Israelites were given hope in the midst of trouble, dark days. As James MacDonald said, speaking of the greatest Christmas verse in the Bible, he said, quote, "The other verses are great in their own way, but Isaiah 9:6 is the widest, deepest, longest, and therefore the greatest Christmas verse in God's word. Every word is worth thinking about." And I agree. So let's do that this morning. So, to us a child is born, a son is given. For. That's for our benefit. Right? The following words are the reason for great expectation. Unto us. Again, it's for our benefit. A child is born unto us. To us, yes. A son is given. The child Jesus, the Christ, was born for us. For our saving benefit. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." To us a son is given. It is the gift of God according to Ephesians 2:8. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Jesus will rule in the office given to him by the Father. Like a military officer wears an ensign on his shoulder. Governing, this is a symbol of governing authority. It's responsibility. The higher the rank, the more authority, but also more responsibility. On the shoulder of Jesus are each and every soul that has ever existed, exists, and will ever exist. You see, he took upon himself the sins of the world, that the world may be offered salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, the free gift through him. of grace. And his name shall be called. Oh, these are the royal titles, essential characteristics of the Son of God. Beautiful titles. They describe the Lord as a mighty warrior capable of establishing peace in his realm, and of an amazing God whose reign is eternal, whose might is above all, whose counsel is beyond any mind created, and whose peace is spelled with a capital, because it is synonymous with his name, which is the name above all names. So let's unwrap these four titles. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful means extremely good, pleasant, or remarkable, unusual, extraordinary. Wonder should be reserved for our Lord and our Lord alone. Wonderful. Counselor, one who gives advice or counsel. The word here is both active and passive, and I'll explain that to you. You see, actively speaking, counselor is a person that stands by and exhorts and encourages, a comforter. And he is our comforter. You can see John 14, 16, 26, and other areas within the Bible that explain this. Passively speaking, counselor is a person called to stand by someone, particularly in a court of law. And I'm not speaking like a professional lawyer, but as a friend of the accused. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So he not only stands at God's right hand, interceding for us like a professional lawyer would, but like a friend. The Son of God. This is our extraordinary friend, who not only gives us good counsel, but is our advocate when we are accused by the enemy. Jesus is also our mighty God. Mighty speaks of power, of strength, of greatness. Who is greater than our God? The great I am. God transcends all of his creation and reveals himself through his word, and his fullness is realized in Jesus Christ. Mighty God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. It's the title given to Jesus Christ, who has absolute power as God to break the power of sin and break the burden of Israel's enemies. And let me tell you this morning, yes, true, we live in dark days, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And don't go out defeated. Know that you go and you move forward and you advance from victory in Christ Jesus. Today we truly can celebrate in the midst of trials, of tribulation, of our circumstances. Lift your head. In fact, God lifts your head. And truly celebrate and praise God. For he is our wonderful counselor. He is our mighty God. He's also our everlasting Father. Yes, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? But listen to this. Everlasting, perpetual, continual, eternal, forever, never ending. Try and figure that out. Right? Just think about eternity. And then think some more. It's just never ending. Father, founder, creator, also a male parent, right? Jesus Christ is our Father of eternal life with God, the Father. It's in him that was born the ability to live forever in God's glory through his sacrifice. I say the ability, the potential. Why? Because, again, it's offered to us. Salvation is offered to us. It's not forced upon us. It's offered to us. That's why I tell you, I told you at the beginning of the message, you can either leave the gift unwrapped, knowing what's in that gift, or you can open it up and receive it. It is the free gift of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, earthly kings leave their people after a short reign. All of them do. But Jesus will reign over and bless his people forever. He is our eternal Father. He is also our Prince of Peace. Prince, captain, governor, head, ruler, leader. Peace. It's completeness, wholeness, soundness, well-being. Physically? No, we're breaking down, right? Spiritually speaking, he is our peace. Hosea 2:18 says, and I will abolish the bow. I'm thinking Navy terms now. The bow. I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. So that's our Prince of Peace. That's our captain, our ruler. The one who is Lord. I thought of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Speaking of completeness, of soundness and well-being in Jesus, our good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Speaks of his authority over me. Being captain, being Lord. His spirit leading our spirit. Jesus being our sufficiency. Philippians 4, 6-8 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen to these words, because we need them today. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard what your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, it doesn't say that it will give us understanding. It will surpass all understanding. In the midst of troubles, that's what people see in you. When Jesus is Lord of our lives and we deal with certain issues in our lives, and we have this confidence in knowing that God is in control, people see that. And they ask, how is it that you can behave the way you behave, even though you're dealing with the circumstances you're dealing with? You really want to know? It's because of the one I trust in. He is truly the Prince of Peace in my life. And it surpasses my understanding. It will definitely surpass your understanding. But let me tell you about him. Is he the Prince of Peace in your life? The Apostle Paul said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Remember last night that I had pointed out that Jesus was our peace. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. In whom is God pleased? Remember everything that we offer him? I explained this to you also. Anything that we offer the Lord, even our righteousness, right, is like filthy garments to him. But what we can offer him is our very lives. If we lose them for the sake of Christ, we will gain them for eternity. With whom is God's peace resting? Well, he's pleased with his Son. You see, the moment that we come to an understanding, to a point of surrendering our lives to the Father through his Son, by again confessing, saying, yes, I am a sinner. I understand that sin separates me from you. I turn from that sin. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. Write my name in the book of life. I want to experience that hope of eternal life in you. The moment you do that, you are now abiding in Christ. And when God sees you, he no longer sees you, but he sees the covering that is over you, Jesus Christ. The wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, is whom God the Father sees, in whom he is well pleased. And it is through him that we experience peace in that hope that is alive and well in Christ Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Ephesians 2:14. This is Jesus, our gift. And I know I ripped the gift, and I'm just throwing it out there for you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. I'm going to ask you this morning, again, this is a special day. It only comes around but once every 6 years or so. Christmas on a Sunday, a day in which we come and worship the Lord. And so this morning I'm going to ask you, and maybe some of you have not unwrapped that gift. Maybe some of you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You maybe have professed that at some point in your life, but you're not demonstrating it by the way you're living. Remember, that's the gift that you give back to him. It's our reasonable service. It's what we should be doing as Christians. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you will, what, obey my commandments, right? That should be the fruit that is evident in your life. You desire to do that. And so this morning, I'm just going to put it out there for you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray in a moment. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Some of you may need to recommit your lives to the Lord. Pray that you do that this morning. For some, you just need prayer. You're going through difficult times. But listen, there's hope in the midst of darkness. And this morning again, we praise and we glorify and we worship and we celebrate our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And if you're in need of prayer, we'll be up here as well for prayer. So right now at Robbie, I'm going to ask you to just play another song other than the closing. And if you'd like to do that, again, I'm going to pray right now. And afterwards, I'm going to stand right up here. And if anyone needs prayer, please come. I'd love to agree with you in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for offering us the gift through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray this morning that if anyone is here who has not turned their lives over to you, that this morning you just move through their hearts. And Father, they respond to the offer of your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, for having a certain hope of eternally being in your glory. That this morning they respond to this. They receive that perfect gift. So if this is you, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, if this is you, and you would like to do that this morning, then I would just ask you to simply raise your hand. Lift up your hand and let me agree with you. You're saying, Lord, I'm tired of the way I've been living. I know the direction that I've been traveling in has been wrong. I know that it's an offense to you. And this morning it's Christmas. And I want to receive you, Jesus Christ, as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, then I would just ask you to just lift up your hand and let me agree with you this morning. If there's anyone who would like to recommit their lives to Christ, I would ask you to do the same. Let me pray for you. And I know there's plenty of people around you who would love to agree with you and pray and encourage you in your walk. Maybe you have prayed that prayer, but you haven't been living in a way that pleases the Lord. If that's you, just raise your hand up. Let me agree with you. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you, Lord, that we can truly celebrate this day, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you are life to us. We anticipated this day. We are here. And I pray, Father, that we continue to worship you with our very lives, for it is our reasonable service. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.